The goals were flowing on the penultimate night of league phase action in this year's UEFA Champions League. Bayern joined Arsenal in the round of 16 with their sixth win out of seven, whilst the likes of Liverpool, Juventus, Chelsea, Newcastle and Barcelona also picked up crucial victories as the race to the knockout phase reaches a crescendo. We'll review it all next. I'm Natalie Sawyer, and what a night of Champions League football we have been treated to once more. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by European football expert Rob Daly, who is alongside me. And Rob, lots of goals, action everywhere, but what were your takeaways from tonight's matches?
Great stories in there, Natalie. Yeah. Look, big win for Liverpool. We're going to get onto that shortly away at Marseille. That puts them in a top position for the top eight now. But there are three standout results for me. Slavia Prague giving Barcelona an almighty scare in that game, leading the match. Barcelona going on to win it by 4-2. Karabag, massive victory for them. They've beaten Eintracht Frankfurt in the last moments. Can't wait to get into that one. But one that really stands out to me actually tonight is Athletic Club's win at Atalanta. From what I saw in that first half, Atalanta could have been 3-5 up. They've turned it around, and Atalanta, who were looking to cement their place in the top eight, suffer a notable defeat. So look, there's loads to get into, can't wait to.
Well, let's run you through then all of the results from Wednesday's action in the UEFA Champions League. Liverpool were 3-0 winners at Marseille. Chelsea beat Paphos by 1-0. There were 5 goals in that game between Atalanta and Athletic Club, with the visitors winning that one in Italy. Juventus, 2-0 winners over Benfica. Barcelona beat Slavia Praha 4-2 in the end on their away trip. Newcastle were 3-0 winners over PSV. Bayern beat Union Saint-Gilloise 2-0, with both of those goals coming in the second half. It finished 1-1 between Galatasaray and Atleti. And as Rob was saying, a big, big victory for Karabag, with a late winner against Frankfurt, sealing a 3-2 victory. Okay. Let's start our review in France then, shall we? Rob Daly and Joe Shannon watch Marseille against Liverpool for Matchday Live.
Salah standing over it. It's hit by Szoboszlai. What a great free kick. Low underneath the wall and into the bottom corner. Running got a touch on it, but he couldn't keep it out. And Dominic Szoboszlai celebrates an opening goal for Liverpool right on half-time in Marseille. Marseille 0, Liverpool 1. Nobody expected Szoboszlai to go under the wall, but he did it, and he did it brilliantly.
Frimpong right edge of the 18-yard box. Frimpong goes into the penalty area beyond Murillo. Frimpong across, and the deflection takes it in. It's 2-0 to Liverpool. Frimpong will take the credit. They've got that crucial second, and they lead in Marseille by 2-0.
So it's a Geronimo Rulli own goal that has put Liverpool 2-0 up, but all the credit has to go to the rampaging fullback, Jeremy Frimpong. 4-4 here for Liverpool. Gravenberg right down the middle square to Cody Gakpo. Chance to wrap it up, and he does for Liverpool. Gakpo with the right-footed finish into the bottom corner. It's a comprehensive away victory for Liverpool in Marseille, and they really have boosted their chances of a top eight finish tonight. It's Marseille 0, Liverpool 3.
Joe Shannon on commentary there, and he joins the show now alongside Rob and myself. Joe, in the end, it turned out to be a convincing victory for Liverpool.
A convincing and a very complete victory for Liverpool. From back to front, I think there were no poor performances. In fact, there were plenty of standout performances. Alisson with some tremendous saves. Frimpong and Kerkers look both a threat going forward, and very solid defensively alongside Gomez and Van Dijk. The midfield worked tremendously well, and I think that was ultimately where Liverpool won this game. They managed to crowd out Marseille in the middle of midfield, and that led to them creating numerous chances on the counter-attack, particularly in that second half. And when the goals came, Liverpool took them really well. Little bit of fortune about the second goal, but it owed a lot to the creativity and the running of Frimpong. So Szoboszlai's free kick was absolutely tremendous, and Gakpo off the bench to slot home a well-taken third.
They certainly tactically set up so interestingly, Natalie. I remember a game last season when Liverpool went to Manchester City, who were the champions. Liverpool set up with this box midfield, played Szoboszlai and Curtis Jones kind of as a pair of nominal strikers, if you like, and it really stifled City. Liverpool won the ball back high and created chances, and they kind of replicated it a little bit tonight with Wirtz and Szoboszlai. It was mega effective. It caught us all out because Ekitike was out on the left-hand side with his kind of gingery perm thing going on. As a member of the ginger community, I'm not going to try that anytime soon. And the whole thing really worked for Liverpool. Lovely goal from Szoboszlai, as you mentioned. And it kind of felt half an hour in. I was kind of looking at the... I think I said it on commentary, Joe. I was like, I think Arne Slot's got this right here. I think eventually Liverpool are going to cut through. And sure enough, they get the win.
I mean, what kind of a result and takeaway can Liverpool take from this result, in the sense of they've beaten Inter away? That's not an easy place to go to, and that was in their previous away game, and now they've gone to Marseille and taken all 3 points once again.
I think they can be extremely optimistic, and you know, remember they scored 5 at Frankfurt. They've already beaten Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid over the course of this UEFA Champions League campaign. Look, it's a Liverpool team with an incredible pedigree in Europe. They will always feel that they should be contending at the very top of European football, that they should be going right through to the upper echelons of the Champions League campaign. There's no question about that. What they've done tonight is they put themselves in a really good spot for finishing in the top 8. We know how congested the English football fixture schedule tends to be. Liverpool have got Premier League games to think about. They've got FA Cup games to think about. What they didn't want to do was end up in the playoffs. Now what they've done is they've given themselves a fabulous chance of reaching the knockout stages automatically. They have a home game, which they'll want against Karabag at Anfield next week. So I think they'll feel very confident that this is a team that, yes, while it might not win the Premier League, can go far yet again in the Champions League.
That's my takeaway from it. I think Liverpool will look at this and think, we can do this on a big occasion when we need a big performance away in Europe. We can put in this kind of showing. That the Premier League has taken on unusual context, because obviously there's disappointment that the title challenge hasn't been as ferocious as they expected. Yeah. 14 points behind Arsenal. But reaching the Champions League final is tangible and real, and Liverpool have done it, what, 3 times in the last 6-7 years. So I don't think it's beyond them. And finishing in that top 8, look, it ended up with them having to play Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16 last season, even though they won the whole league phase. But nonetheless, it would certainly do them a massive favour.
And I think they've got real attacking weapons as well that are really starting to shine. I mean, Wirtz didn't get his goal, but he looked a threat. He's on good goal-scoring form all of a sudden. Ekitike looked a threat throughout the game. Actually, how he didn't manage to score, I'm not sure, but he was outstanding in terms of his hold-up play, the positions that he was taking up. Mo Salah is integrated back into the group, looked lively at times tonight. Gakpo comes off the bench to score. There's a lot to be positive about, I think, from a Liverpool perspective.
Dominic Szoboszlai was given the UEFA Player of the Match for this one. With regards to Marseille then, they can't now qualify for the top 8. They're 19th, just 1 point above the elimination places, heading in to match day 8 next week. But we can take some positives, can't they, Marseille, from this performance?
Oh, definitely. There were moments where they really did look threatening against Liverpool, when they managed to engage Mason Greenwood a little bit, who was out on the right-hand side. We thought originally with the team sheet come in that he was going to play as one of the front two. He was actually more operating out on the right. That's when they did look... They did look dangerous. They had a really good spell early in the second half where it was just end-to-end. We had that moment where Ekitike thumped one against the post. And then I forget, it might have been Traoré down the other end, where they could have just made it 1-1. And that's where the game was on this kind of knife edge. Had this whole knife edge thing going on, and then when Frimpong made that own goal for Rulli, it kind of killed that element of the match. There was lots to like about Marseille's performance. They've got so much quality off of the bench, and they go to Club Brugge, who have their own aspirations to try and sneak into the top 24. That's a massive game now in Belgium, actually.
A big positive, I thought, from tonight was the greater intensity and energy in the second half performance, as Rob was saying, the way that they managed to bring Greenwood into the game. They created enough tonight to have scored 2 or 3 goals. I mean, if you look at the game, there are 3 excellent saves from Alisson. The one to deny Aubameyang late on was probably the best of them. Brilliant stop to turn away Greenwood's long-range effort early in the second half, and the save to deny Guiri in the first period. I thought Igor Paixão looked lively when he came on. I thought Aubameyang looked lively when he came on. The big positive for Marseille is that it's still in their hands. If they go away to Club Brugge and they win next week, they will be in the playoffs. That's all that De Zerbi will be thinking about now. What happens is, I suppose, at this stage is you put the game to bed, you take the positives away from it, and you move on very quickly to next week. And I've no doubt that's what De Zerbi and Marseille will do.
Let's move on to the game in Germany, where Bayern have sealed their place straight through to the round of 16 after their 2-0 victory over Union Saint-Gilloise. And it was Harry Kane that got both of the goals in this one. All the goals coming in the second half. He did actually have the chance of a hat-trick as well, but that came about through a missed penalty in the end from him. Bayern were also reduced to 10 men in the 63rd minute when Kim Min-jae was sent off for a second yellow card. But as I say, it took their time to get past the Belgian side in the end. And I was even looking through my stats thinking, when was the last time that Bayern haven't scored? And you'd have to have gone back at home anyway to December 2024 for that to have happened.
Oh, wow.
But as it happens, it's an irrelevant stat because they went on to win the game. And Bayern, as we know, just have that ability to just turn it on when they need to.
Yeah, you look at the numbers. So in the league phase, they're unbeaten in group stage, you know, as well. Unbeaten in their last 38 home matches. Mm-hmm. Now, 36 of them they've won. Two draws, and I think you said this stat, Natalie, when you said Kane just scored his 33rd yes. of the season, and then he got his 34th. I mean, crazy numbers. They're flying in the Bundesliga. They'll win the Bundesliga this year. They've got a commanding lead already, even though they just passed the midway point. Look, a nice win for them. They've only lost to Arsenal so far. I'm sure that top eight is theirs. And then, of course, we thought Harry Kane was going to get goal number 35 and he smacks his late penalty against the bar. But nonetheless, a great result for them. For Union Saint-Gilloise now, they've only been able to pick up 6 points. Makes life very, very difficult for them, of course. But it's been a noble Champions League campaign nonetheless, with their away wins at PSV and Galatasaray. They take on Atalanta next. Mm.
Harry Kane is the UEFA player of the match after those two goals. And we've obviously mentioned that he's scored now 34 goals in all competitions. So let's hear from him on that performance.
Yeah, I think the second half was better. First half was a little bit sloppy with the ball. We didn't have enough energy without the ball. So coming back in the second half, we wanted to show more intensity, and I think we've done that. So we scored at the right times. Got a bit unlucky, I think, with a red card, but we even after when we went down to 10 men, we controlled the game well and overall good 3 points.
Union Saint-Gilloise certainly made it difficult for them, but we mentioned Harry Kane's 34 goals that he has now scored. It's 103 goals that Bayern have scored this crazy season in all competitions.
And bear in mind as well, Natalie, they've got Jamal Musiala back now. So Musiala came back at the weekend for the win against Leipzig. He had been out for 196 days after he broke his leg in pre-season. It took him 76 seconds to get an assist in that game. On the bench, unused tonight. They're going to be careful with him, easing him back into the team. But now into the latter stage of the competition, they've got him. They've got Serge Gnabry on the bench. They've got great options. Leonard Karl, we all know about him, has really come to the fore. They're one of the favourites to win it, without a doubt, by him.
And let's not forget Michael Olise, Luis Diaz. There is just an armoury that Vincent
good.
Kompany has. Yeah. And I'm sure any team will be wary of taking the on Bayern in the round of 16. At St. James's Park, Newcastle put in a very convincing display as they beat PSV Eindhoven. It was goals for Johan Wiese, Anthony Gordon and Harvey Barnes that sealed the victory in the end. The only disappointment might be an injury to their captain Bruno Guimaraes, who had to go off just before half time after trying to run off an ankle injury in the game that he was nursing for around 10 to 15 minutes, but unfortunately wasn't able to continue in the game. But my goodness, it is another great victory for them and moves them into the top seven.
It does, and it's really nice for them that Johan Wiese got amongst the goals. We know that he had this injury that kept him out for near the entirety of the first half of the season after his move from Brentford, got the early finish. They pounced on the fact that PSV were trying to play out from the back mm-hmm. for both of those opening goals. Yeah. It was loose passes into the middle of the pitch. Newcastle snapped into action. Wiese scored one. He actually won the ball for the other one to set up Anthony Gordon. And while Anthony Gordon hasn't actually scored from open play in the Premier League in more than a year now, in the Champions League, he's flying. He's got six goals now.
Yeah.
And then Harvey Barnes, who's been tucking him away for fun with the other one. Good win for Newcastle. PSV won at Liverpool recently, and Newcastle move on to 12 points. So on to 13 points, I should say. So that's really good news for them.
I mean, you mentioned Anthony Gordon's six goals in the UEFA Champions League this season. That is the joint most by a Newcastle player in a single edition, equaling Alan Shearer's six.
Wow.
Back in 2002-03. not bad company to be in when you're mixing it with Alan Shearer. And obviously for Anthony Gordon, knowing that the position that Newcastle are in, he only has more chances to add to that talent.
Yeah, absolutely. They're breaking. When they counter-attack, they're really good. Newcastle United, we know that. Harvey Barnes has been really menacing in front of goal. And look, they're seventh now in the league standings. And the reason tonight felt so big, Natalie, was that they go to Paris Saint-Germain on match day 8. So you know that's a game that you could lose. Both teams are on 13 points, so that's a winner-takes-all kind of encounter in the French capital. Maybe Newcastle will have enough, but there's a lot of teams, actually. If you go all the way down to 13th, there are teams on 13 points. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams on 13 points. So maybe... To finish in the top eight, Newcastle need to go and win at the European Champions to stay in those automatic round of 16 places.
Yeah, it is very, very tight. But you mentioned, of course, the Newcastle midfielder, Harvey Barnes, who got that third goal. Well, he is full of self-belief, as you can imagine, with his Newcastle team heading into that match day 8 where they will travel to Paris.
We know what we can do when we turn up against teams. We had a sour taste after the game there a few years ago, and it's one we'll probably want to go down and put right. So massive challenge. They're a quality side, but yeah, why not?
Now to Azerbaijan, where the goals were flowing in an enthralling contest between Karabag and Frankfurt.
Is swiftly moved by Karabag in the direction of Zubir, and in it goes, and in it goes to the net from Camilo Duran. What a source of Champions League goals he is becoming for Karabag. And that's Karabag 1-0 up inside 4 minutes. This is Ritsu Duan, and picked up by Uzun, who's found the corner to equalise. A smooth finish from Can Uzun. And just like that, Frankfurt back in the game. Faraz Shaibi from the spot. And Frankfurt do lead. He's only been on the pitch a few minutes, but Faraz Shaibi confident enough to back himself when it mattered. Big 10 minutes. Jaffa Guliev immediately in behind. It's 2-2. It's another for Duran. It's an instant response from Karabag. Duran has got his name in lights in the Champions League once more. Petropicalio, Silva across and in for the winning goal. It's Mustafa Zadeh, and Baku is going bonkers for that. The last kick of the game, the tears flow. Karabag win it, and this means everything.
Well, it was a game that swung back and forth between the two sides, but it is a first win for Karabag since match day 2. And we have seen, Rob, the Champions League always writes stories, and this is just yet another one.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. And remember, this is a team that's beaten Copenhagen at home, that's drew with Chelsea, the 2-2 draw. So I'm not even surprised, in truth, that they've gone on to win this game. It looked like it was lost when they went 2-1 down to that penalty, as you heard from Chris Wise's commentary there, but an excellent comeback. Lovely moment for Balol Mustafadze, who's the first Azerbaijani player to score in the Champions League in a fitting way. To do it as well. Frankfurt, you know, they came into the game having just changed their head coach, Dennis Schmidt, the interim boss. It was always going to be difficult to generate a performance, especially in that atmosphere in Baku, to come away with a result. But great stuff for Karabag, who are in the mix. They've got a tough game now. They go to Liverpool match day, but a huge win for them. And really liking the work of Camilo Duran playing up front. Two goals on the night, four goals in the Champions League now, two assists as well. He's been one of the stars of the competition so far.
Well, let's hear from the Karabag captain, Abdullah Zubir, who was over the moon, as you can imagine, after that dramatic victory.
Just amazing, you know, that we win in the last minute, even last second, because then when we scored the third goal, they just whistled the end of the game. So it was very tough. We gave everything, and finally we win this game. So it's completely incredible for us. We are very happy. Never give up, I think I can say, because we give everything, and from defense, in attack, everybody run together. And we know that it will be very hard, and even because we score very early, so then we do it, so we are very happy.
Yeah, very happy. Captain there of Karabag, Camilo Duran, was the UEFA player of the match, and it's a victory that moves them up to 18th. So very much in the shout for the playoffs. Let's move to Italy, where Juventus beat Benfica by 2-0. Duran gave them the lead 10 minutes into the second half before Weston McKennie played a delightful 1-2 with Jonathan David before slotting home to earn Juventus that win. And they're unbeaten at home in all competitions this season. So heading to the Juventus Stadium will not be easy for any side.
No, it won't. And what's impressive now about Juventus' campaign is you think they had 3 points in their opening four games, beaten by Real Madrid. They've drawn with Dortmund and Villarreal and Sporting. Admittedly, they've had a really tough draw, Juventus. But now three back-to-back wins. They're on to 12 points. They're 14th in the 15th, I should say, in the league phase. It's been a really impressive response. These two teams have met each other a load of times. Benfica missed a penalty as well. That Pavlidis slip as he stepped up that would have got Benfica back into the game a little bit. But a great result for Juventus. And that goal, the 2-0 goal you're talking about, was just lovely play, wasn't it, between McKennie and David to carve out the chance of 2-0. Great victory. Luciano Spalletti, who looks stressed after time on the touchline, maybe could have afforded himself like a rare once-a-month smile.
Jose Mourinho looked relaxed in comparison.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So great win for the Bianconeri, for sure.
OK, up next, there was a new man in the dugout for Chelsea, making his UEFA Champions League debut as a coach.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats, and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
So Chelsea took on Paphos at Stamford Bridge and they left it late to score the winner in this one, and it came from a corner that was eventually headed in by Moises Caicedo. So let's hear from the goal scorer and player of the match, who was asked how important it is to lead by example.
A lot of people tell me like I'm a leader. I don't talk too much in the dressing room, but but I like to show on the pitch or in training every day, so yeah, it's important that.
Moises Caicedo then wanting to lead by example, and he scored that winner in the end. It was an emphatic performance in the sense of domination for Chelsea. 71% ball possession, 21 shots they had in comparison to Paphos' 4. But ultimately, it's Liam Rossini who can walk around with a swagger, earning his first win on his debut as the Chelsea head coach in the Champions
League. That's right. I mean, Paphos came into the game with their own new head coach as well, Albert Salades, in the other dugout. He was appointed 3 days before Liam Rossini, so they were kind of in a similar boat in a way, and it was a massive occasion for Paphos. This was one of the dramatised David Luiz back at Stamford Bridge on the bench. Didn't come on in the end, but it was a special night for him, I'm sure, to return to Stamford Bridge. And yes, they had to grind it out. Paphos had a tactic. It was just low block, defend well. Chelsea cut through in the first half. It looked like Enzo Fernandez had scored, back from illness to start. That was ruled out for a little push. Then they get their goal. Caicedo kind of threw himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
Kind of threw himself at the ball to score the winning goal. And Liam Rossini won't care one bit. He knows it's a long project. He's got a lot of work to do to get Chelsea flying up the Premier League table. But they're eighth now in the standings, with a shot of securing one. That game away at Antonio Conte's Napoli looks a tricky one for sure on match day, but they've given themselves the best possible chance by winning all of their home games.
Classic Champions League encounter, that, isn't it? Napoli certainly against Chelsea, yes. Yeah. Conte against Chelsea. I think there's a lot of positives about Chelsea. You know, they've got a great young coach with a pedigree of developing younger players, and Chelsea have got bags of young talent at the club. I think it's quite an exciting time to be a Chelsea fan, particularly, you know, given their relatively recent history in this competition, the success that Chelsea have had. They, like many of the others in the top eight, will be thinking, well, why can't we go deep in this competition? Why can't we potentially win this competition? There's a lot of depth, certainly within the squad, and Liam Rossini seems to be, early on, albeit though it is in his reign at the club, seems to be getting a tune out of these players.
Well, let's move on to the game between Atalanta and Athletic Club. And it was the visitors that won this one in the end. Although Atalanta took the lead in the first half, Gianluca Scamacca with a header to give them the lead. Athletic Club then turns it around in the second half. Grisetta getting the equaliser before Serrano Navarro made it 3-1 to Athletic Club. Nikola Krstović made it a frantic end as he scored a second for Atalanta in the 88th minute. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Athletic Club held on for the victory. And ultimately, that's all that matters. Even though it was a difficult end to the game for them, they'll be so pleased to come away with the all-important 3 points.
Outstanding. Outstanding from Ernesto Valverde's side. Look, first half, they were on the ropes. Scamacca gets the goal. Unai Simon has to make one of the most ridiculous double saves I've seen all season. Atalanta will sit at the post, it looked like. Here we go, Atalanta doing what they do. They've been so good. They've beaten Marseille, Frankfurt, Chelsea, Club Brugge. They've only lost to Paris Saint-Germain. And then suddenly, they turn it around. The game takes on a completely different context in the second half. They get those three goals in something like a 14-minute spell to turn it around. Massive win for them. Things haven't been quite going to plan in La Liga either. Maybe this will give them the foundations for better things. And they're in the mix now. They're in the mix now because they host Sporting match day 8. They're 23rd on 8 points. I feel like this year, even more than last year actually, Natalie, there's going to be so many games in next Wednesday that have so much riding on them. And Athletic Club are still in the mix, amazingly, now to finish in the top 24.
Hence why I say you need a calculator, an abacus, and as many different tablets and screens as you possibly can get hold of to keep across everything. Although, of course, here at UEFA.com and on the app, we'll keep you right up to date.
Yeah, we've
with
got it covered, haven't we? We've got
we'll
it covered.
Know what's
yeah,
happening.
Exactly.
Well, I say we. I'll be sitting back listening in, of course. Yeah. But it's going to be absolutely frenetic, no doubt. But a very, very important win for Athletic Club, and it's the first defeat in 2026 for Atalanta, who had begun the new year with that unbeaten start. Now, Slavia Praha certainly tested Barcelona in their game. It ended 4-2 to the La Liga side, but Slavia Praha took the lead first of all. Then Fermin Lopez scored twice before half-time, but then Robert Lewandowski ended up ducking, it looked like, from a corner, which actually then came off the back of him into the back of the net, which made it 2-2 at half time. Barcelona then had to turn the style on in the second half to come through and win that game in the end 4-2. Dani Olmo and Lewandowski getting on the score sheet again. But my goodness, it was a test.
Oh, massive, massive test for Barcelona. Look, Slavia Praha, they've got their tactic. They go man for man with their marking. They press all over the pitch. It's chaotic. It's high energy. It causes teams problems. But it seemed like eventually Barcelona found their footing in the game. Admittedly, yes, Lewandowski got the own goal, 2-2 at half time. But I felt at that point Barcelona had gone, okay, I think we've cracked this. I think we know what's happening. And sure enough, they get the goals. But Lewandowski's first goal in the Champions League this season, that's hard to believe. But again, it felt a big win for Barcelona. Of course, they've got a high caliber of player, but they came into this match without Gavi, who's got his knee injury, Ferran Torres, hamstring problem, and Lamine Yamal, crucially, who was suspended for this one. They'll have him back for Copenhagen next week. So a good job for Barcelona. They're still outside the top eight in ninth, but they'll feel maybe looking at that last fixture against Copenhagen that they can get the job done. Copenhagen outside the top 24 at the moment.
Well, as you said, though, with Barcelona, a number of clubs on 13 points, which makes next week all the more interesting. Let's hear from the Slavia Praha midfielder Mikhail Sadalek on just how tough Barcelona were to play tonight.
Yeah, well, Barcelona, they have just good players in the team. That's why they are playing there. So, yeah, that's the main difference also between the Czech League and Champions League, because here you compete against the best players in the world, and that's what everybody saw.
We can also hear from the winning manager, Hansi Flick, who felt his Barcelona side had to fight for the 3 points.
I said before the match yesterday, also I said it will be a tough match because it's prepare, I think, 5 weeks or 3 weeks. They have time to prepare for against us, to play against us. And they made it really good. Slavia is a team, a physical team with a lot of dynamic, a lot of tall players, and we saw it in the set pieces. I think it was not easy to defend this. And but at the end, I'm happy that we came back. And the team played really good. And I also think at the end, we deserved 3 points.
Well, Fermin Lopez, after his double, was awarded the UEFA Player of the Match. Now let's head to Turkey, where Galatasaray were hosting Atletico, with both sides still harbouring ambitions of reaching the top eight.
things kindly for Sulon. He wasn't quite expecting that. And Galatasaray are lucky. Ruggeri flashes across the face of goal. Giuliano Simeone gives Atletico Madrid the lead. Ruggeri, cleverly disguised pass. Zelaya across the face of goal. Oh dear! They'll take anything. And Galatasaray forced the mistake. Away goes Osimhen. Gets the cross in. Oh, big save from Oblak. And time stands still. But to the rescue is Llorente. That was it. That was the chance for Galatasaray to get the winning goal. Well, he went right down to the final whistle. A gripping game. Little between the two teams. Galatasaray 1, Atletico Madrid 1.
And let's hear from the Galatasaray striker, Victor Osimhen, who was proud of the way he applied himself against the three-time Champions League finalists.
I also give them a hard time. I think they are also very experienced defender. I think for me, and also they have a very good coach that know what is really doing. For me, he's one of the best in the world. And for me, it was difficult a bit, but I think we got some couple of occasions where we could have do damage to them. But you know, they are experienced and they know what they're doing on the pitch. So for me, it is normal. But just like I said earlier, we will take the draw. So.
Well, it is a point then for Galatasaray that moves them onto 10 points, up to 17th as well. And just a crucial point to just bridge that little gap between their position and obviously those eliminated places as well.
Yeah, big for Galatasaray. Look, we wait and see. There's a load of teams on 8 points who are on that border between the elimination places and the top 24. I think Galatasaray have been good enough to get a top four position. I was so impressed cover their win over Liverpool back in September, and it was a real sign off the back of a heavy defeat to Frankfurt. They lost 5-1. They responded to that so well. They've got great players. Victor Osimhen, of course, is the standout player amongst that. And I think it says a lot that they're coming away from that game a little bit, Natalie, against Atletico team, who are so experienced in the Champions League, thinking, we could have won that one. So good result for them. In terms of Atletico, who kind of feel a little bit similar, they're on that kind of that unlucky group of 13 point teams whom we'll be hoping to squeak in the end. They're at home to Budde Glimt, who've just beaten Manchester City, so that doesn't feel too kind of game either. So that'll be a cracker too.
Yeah, Budde Glimt, certainly one of the stories of this round. Let's look ahead then to match day 8. You can listen to all of the action from 8:45 CET on Match Day Live on the official Champions League app and UEFA.com. There will be 18 matches kicking off simultaneously. Rob, what's going to stand out for you? I know.
There's so many permutations. Okay, look, so I think the one of them, obviously Napoli-Chelsea stands out in terms of what those two teams are. Chelsea just on the edge of just about getting into the top 8. And bear in mind, Napoli right now are not in the top 24. You know, that's big for the Italian champions. They're on 8 points. Win and surely they're there. So that's a massive game. The other one I'm kind of looking at is Paris Saint-Germain against Newcastle. Those two teams level on points, both on 13 in the top 8 because of goal difference. That looks like a straight shootout for the top 8. So I don't know what's going to be the main game next week, but I think that's got to be a good shout, surely.
There are many contenders. Isn't it amazing that there are 8 teams on 13 points?
Yeah, crazy.
6th Paris Saint-Germain, down to 13th Atalanta. Then you look at the bottom end of the table. So I make it only 4 teams have technically been eliminated, mathematically eliminated. Everybody else will still feel they've got a chance of somehow making the playoffs. It's testament to the system, I think, the format that we're now enjoying for a second season, that it is as tight as this. And isn't it interesting? Last season, you needed a minimum of 16 points to make it into that coveted top 8. I think you're probably going to need 16 points to make it into the top 8 again this time around. Nobody who is in and around that 13, 14, 12 point mark will feel all too pessimistic about their position. They'll all feel optimistic that they can get through. So there's going to be extraordinary twists and turns. The table's going to change all the time on the final day. I'm looking forward to it already.
Indeed. Let's just confirm the shape of the table as it stands. And Arsenal and Bayern have made it through to the round of 16 then after their latest results. But the rest of the top 8 looks like this, with Real Madrid, Liverpool, Tottenham, Paris, Newcastle and Chelsea, which is quite incredible that so many Premier League sides make up that
total,
top 8.
Yeah.
And Manchester City only out of those positions on goal difference, because they are one of a 8 sides on 13 points then vying to try and book their place into the automatic direct route into the round of 16. And then if you go down to the teams trying to get into the playoff positions, then yes, there are a whole host of teams on 8 points with currently PSV, Athletic Club and Olympiacos making it into the top 24, but only behind them are Napoli and Copenhagen on 8 points, Club Brugge on 7, Bodo Glimt, Benfica, Paphos, Union Saint-Gilloise, Ajax as well, all on 6 points, so all with a shout of going into the playoffs if they get the right results on match day 8. It is going to be an enthralling evening to look forward to. Before we say goodbye, let's hear from the Liverpool captain, Virgil van Dijk, who gave us his assessment of their 3-0 victory then over Marseille.
It's always difficult, in my opinion, to play against the Zerbi teams, if you want to say it like that, because they, if you're not front-footed, if you are a little bit late in your press, they can play out pretty easy. And obviously he persists on, how do you call it, persist probably? I think, I don't know if that's a word, but on keep on playing and taking that risk. So obviously if you are winning those balls in between the lines, and there's plenty of space to exploit, and I think we did that pretty well. But overall, I think the performance was very good. Something to build on. We will recover and yeah, go again.
Something for Liverpool to build on, so says Virgil van Dijk, but they do move into the top 8 and up to 4th after that 3-0 victory over Marseille. Joe, thank you.
Enjoyed
very
it.
Much. Rob, thank you.
Thanks,
likewise,
Natalie.
As well. What a night of Champions League football we have been treated to once again this evening. Don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night in this season's competition. Once more, my thanks to Rob and Joe for their company again. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45 CET on Wednesday the 28th of January with all the goals and incidents as they happen across Europe as the season's league phase concludes. It is sure to be a dramatic evening with all 18 matches kicking off at the same time, so do make sure you join us for that. Until then, from me, Natalie Sawyer, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's been a pleasure. Goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.